The Gospel of John, please, and chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. John chapter 9, and we commence to read, please, at verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And so on, down to verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Now down to verse number 25, the Jews then start to question the man who had received his sight. Verse 25, he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now further down, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. The Lord will bless to us this reading from his precious word. Now, blindness in Scripture is often taken up as an illustration for us of spiritual need. And we can see in this, this miracle that we've read about here this evening, an illustration for us in the gospel of a sinner's need before God and how their need can be met by Christ alone. For a sinner in his need before God is found in darkness. You remember the words of Paul as he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 5, and referring to their condition before they were saved, he says, Ye were once darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. There had been no glimmer of light in them or about them. They were darkness. And then again, you remember as well that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. And so not only is a sinner naturally in darkness before God, but Satan as well would aggravate the problem, and he would blind the minds of them that believe not. And so in the meeting tonight, if you're not saved, we want you to learn this solemn truth that before God, you're blind. Your soul is in darkness. And in the words of Ephesians 5, ye are darkness itself. Not only in darkness, but darkness itself. Now if we were to ask the question then, just how dark is a sinner in his natural condition before God? Just how dark can a sinner be? Well, I think we'll find an illustration of that in the very opening chapter of our Bible. Back in Genesis chapter 1, you remember that God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2 we read, and the earth was without form and void, wasn't habitable, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in a world without light? Why, we take light for granted, don't we? We come into the room when the sun goes down and we flick the switch and the light comes on. And if the hydro goes off, we bring out the lamps or the candles. And we take light for granted. But just think for a moment of what it would be like just to be in a world where there's not even one single glimmer of light. Darkness. That's just like the condition of the human soul. So far as God is concerned, he can have no fellowship with it. It's inhabitable. Uninhabitable, rather. But thank God for the words that we read in Genesis 1. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God begins to move, and God speaks, and God said, let there be light, and instantly there was light. Thank God tonight for the Spirit of God who is in the world. And perhaps even in your soul tonight, he's moving and he's working. And he's bringing circumstances about in your life. He's brought you along to the meeting tonight, and the Word of God has been opened. And we trust, my friend, that your ear will be open to his voice, that the Spirit of God would move, as it were, upon the face of the waters. And oh, that as a result of the meeting tonight, that into your soul there might shine the light of the gospel. For the gospel brings light to the soul. It brings the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And a sinner can get to know Christ by trusting him as his Savior. And be brought into fellowship with God, into the very light of the presence and fellowship of God. Made fit for his presence not only in time, but throughout all eternity. But coming now to the chapter before us, John chapter 9, you'll notice how the chapter opens. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. I like that, you know. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Here's a man, and the eye of Christ singles him out. He was singled out. The eye of Christ fell upon him, and instantly the Savior knew everything about that dear man. He knew that there was a man who was not only blind, but he was blind from his birth. That was the way in which he was born into the world. It was his natural condition in this life. He was blind. You know, that causes me joy tonight in the meeting. For though I'm looking down from the platform here and can look into every face in the meeting, I thank God tonight there's a divine eye that is upon you. And as he looks upon you, he knows every circumstance in your life. He knows all about you. He knows your spiritual need tonight in the meeting. He knows that as one that is not saved, he knows that you're blind. He knows that. This man was singled out, and it's our desire in the meeting this evening that your soul would be singled out before God, that your ears would be open to hear what he has to say to you personally. That's a big thing. You know, we live in a world where many people have strange ideas about God. They think that he is somehow the sum of all good. Or others will think that he is the phenomena that is back of all existence. That he is another word for cosmic energy that has brought things into being. People have funny notions. But whenever we turn to the book of the Bible, we find that the God of the Bible is one who is personal, one who can be known, and one who knows intimately every detail and every circumstance of our lives. This man was singled out. You'll notice too that it seems almost like a chance encounter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. But then we read in verse number 3, in answer to the disciples' question, the Lord explains how or why this man was permitted to be blind. It was that the works of God should be manifest in him. And there's the answer. That the works of God might be manifest in him. In other words, God had purposes of blessing for this dear individual man. Well, that's good, isn't it? To think of you in the meeting this evening, my friend, and not only is the eye of Christ upon you, not only does he know everything about you, not only does he single you out in the meeting, but my friend, God is blessing for you. He desires the greatest blessing that you could ever have, that you might be saved and know it even in the meeting tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one who could meet this man's need, his physical need. Thank God tonight, he's the same one who can meet your need spiritually in the meeting this evening. But when we come now to verse number 4, you'll notice that this man had a short opportunity to get the blessing of his sight recovered. He had a short opportunity. For the Lord says, not only was he passing by, but he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Now what is the Lord referring to when he says, the night cometh? Well, he's just indicating now that very shortly he's going to leave this scene of time. He's going to the cross. He's going to Jerusalem. There he's going to be crucified, and he's on his way back to the Father, back to heaven. The opportunity for this man to receive his sight, for never since the beginning of the world had a man received his sight that had been born blind. He had just a short opportunity. And it reminds us tonight in the meeting, my friend, in the Gospel, that so far as your opportunity to be saved is concerned, why, it's just a short one. Just a short opportunity. The gospel will be preached as we know it until that moment when the Lord will come from heaven with the voice of archangel and the trump of God, and we which are saved will be caught up to meet him in the air. We'll be caught away to go to the Father. And no longer will the sweet strains of the gospel that as we know it be sounded from Woodland Drive Hall. Some of these days the doors in Woodland Drive will be closed for the last time. It's good to see you here tonight, my friend, but remember, the gospel will not always be preached, for the night cometh The night cometh when no man can work, a time of tribulation, a time of judgment, when God will visit this scene in judgment. And ultimately, the Lord Jesus will be manifested in glory to set up his kingdom on earth. The night cometh when no man can work. But you notice now in verse number 6 that not only was this man singled out, not only did he have a short opportunity, but sight was offered to him. Notice how this came about. The Savior starts to move, and he's moving in blessing. He's making all the initial moves as he comes to this man, and he spits on the ground, makes clay with the spittle, and he anoints the eyes of the blind man. Now, I'm not sure how you want to look at this. Some have suggested that the Lord made little balls of clay and inserted it into the eyeballs of this man. That's fair enough if you want to look at it that way, but I take it just simply looking at the passage, just as if we find it here. The Lord made clay and he anointed upon the eyes of the blind man. He made clay, as it were, of the consistency of ointment, and he put it upon his eye. And then he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, what are we going to learn here from this thing which the Lord did, the spitting on the ground, the making of clay, and the sending of the man to go and wash? Well, as we go back in our Bibles, into the Old Testament, we'd find a very simple lesson connected with spitting. It signified rejection. Rejection. And so the Lord, here, he spits on the ground and he makes clay. And he puts that upon the eyes, the man's natural eyes. These eyes that are blind, these eyes that can't see. And he's teaching now, these are rejected. Nature's darkness, nature's blindness will never help this man. They're rejected. There's a lesson for us in the meeting tonight. You know, my friend, God just doesn't merely require sinners to turn over a new leaf. He's not making them depend upon what they were in their own selves and trying to dress themselves up a little bit and get a little bit of religion about them and come to the gospel hall and all the rest of it and then, you know, try to make your way to heaven. No, no. As we come to the New Testament, we learn a very solemn fact that all that I am in nature is rejected so far as God is concerned. I can bring absolutely nothing to God. I come poor and helpless and blind and needy with nothing to offer, and I take what he gives. Salvation in Christ. I take it with an empty hand. I take it by faith. But then he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now the man is learning something else now. Before he gets his sight, not only is his eyes rejected, his old eyes, but he has to go now and wash. He needs cleansing now. The lesson is very simple, is it not, in the gospel? That not only are sinners blind before God, but they are found in a condition that needs cleansing. They are defiled by sin. But oh, the message of the gospel tonight is this. That not only does God bring sinners into light of fellowship with him, but listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that we are fit subjects to be found in the light, with the spotlight of God upon us. Even then, still accepted. Still welcome before him What is it brings me into that place? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. But notice now how he got the blessing, very simply, in verse number 7. It was on the basis or the principle of simple. In verse number 7. It was on the basis or the principle of simple obedience. He went his way, therefore, and he washed, and he came seeing. Perhaps the question is being raised in the mind of someone in the meeting this evening. How is it now? How can I be saved? How can I be saved and know it? Well, let's look. The principle is simple obedience. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The message is the same in the gospel. It is simple obedience to the word of God, to repent, and to believe the gospel. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 12. He said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. God who is light in him is no darkness at all. Sinners are darkness. They are not fit for his presence. But whosoever believeth in me shall not abide in darkness. Why, that just links in with John 3:16, doesn't it? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's bad enough being in darkness in time. Dreadful thing to pass from time into eternity. And to go out into darkness, my friend, that God describes himself as the outer darkness. Dreadful thing. Never to enter into the fair courts of heaven. Never to see the light of heaven and all its glory. But to go away into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But the Lord said, whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Could you not take it in tonight? Could you not take the Savior as your own? Could you not believe on him to the saving of your soul? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very quickly, when we come to verses 7 through to 12, this man has his sight obtained. His sight obtained. He knew that he was healed. And also he knew who healed him. You notice what he says there in verse number 11. He says, a man that is called Jesus, he made clay, anointed my eyes, and I went and I washed and I received sight. Some people have a difficulty in their mind. You know, if I get saved, well, how would I know that I'm saved? Well, I'll tell you how you'd know that you're saved. You know, you would know the difference, wouldn't you, between darkness and light? You know the difference, don't you, between death and life? You know the difference between being lost and being found? If you were put, say, down in the basement tonight with the lights off, you're in darkness. Someone brings you upstairs and opens that door and you're brought into this room. You're in light. Tell me, would you know you were in light? Of course you would. So when a soul trusts Christ as a Savior, he knows that he's saved, that he's ready for heaven. He knows it. It's part and parcel of the new birth to know
that I'm ready for heaven.
This man met strong opposition, and with this we close. He didn't find it easy from that then on. And you know, the Christian life is not easy. There's difficulties along the way. Well, there's one thing comforted this man's heart in all his circumstances and all the questions that were raised by Jews and all the rest of it. There was one thing comforted his heart. It was just this. He says, whereas I was blind, now I see. And it's good to know, my friend, if nothing else turns out in life, it's good to know that when I lay my head on my pillow at night, that so far as my soul is concerned, I'm ready for heaven. To know that the Lord Jesus on the cross, he bare my sins in his own body on the tree. To know that the judgment that was my due has been borne by another. To know that I'm ready for heaven. Oh, it's joy indeed. You notice this man, he ends up like that. In verse number 38, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worships him. He enters into the saint's occupation. Lord, I believe. And he worships him. Not only did he worship him in time, but tonight we believe there's a man in heaven and he's worshiping him still. Friend, that's the lot and the portion of all who trust the Savior. So you'll remember then, this man that was singled out, a man who had a short opportunity, a man whose sight was offered to him, a man who in simple obedience received the blessing, a man whose sight was obtained. He encountered strong opposition, but he entered into the saint's occupation, and he worshipped him. We trust that as a result of the meeting tonight, there'll be someone will likewise enter into the same occupation, go on their way rejoicing, and like this dear man be able to say, Lord, I believe. And then he worshipped him.